Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
It is currently 7:14 and a half. I found this story. Well, let's get to the weather first. Going to warm up ahead of a potentially wintry mix. And Peyton Malone, WWO, one of my favorite meteorologists, the WWO. Well, I hate to start naming names. Anyway, they're all great at WWL. The forecast, WWL Louisiana Forecast Center. So today we're looking at some late clouds, highs of 60. Tomorrow a bit warmer, turns breezy though. Very nice tomorrow, really, highs of 64. Then Saturday, 50% chance for showers in the morning. It starts warm, and then that's one of those deals where we reach the high temperature early in the day and the temperature falls throughout the day. Sunday is going to be cold and windy with highs of 48. So it's going to feel cold, partly cloudy. Monday, hard freeze north shore, freeze south of the lake. Bitter cold, according to Peyton. Windy, low south shore 30, north shore 24, so definitely a hard freeze on the north shore. Highs of 39. And then on Tuesday, that's where we get into the wintry participation. Wintry precipitation part of it. I'll get it right. And that's where Peyton says it's really a little bit too early to tell yet what's going to happen because it all depends on this moving there and the other thing pushing this and the moisture content. And the conditions, believe it or not, have to be just right for it to snow. But forget the wintry weather as far as precipitation, just temperatures, bitter cold, lows south shore 29, north shore 23, so I would definitely prepare for a hard freeze then. And also on the Wednesday morning, lows 29 on the south shore, 23 on the north shore. The screen's moving around too damn fast, I'll tell you that. Dan Gill joins us now, professor at the LSU Ag Center, host of The Garden Show. How you doing, Dan?
I am doing great.
What do people need to know with this cold weather? First of all, before we get to that, do you want it to snow or do you not want it to snow? And that's both as Dan Gill, local guy, and also then we'll ask you as Dan Gill with the LSU Ag Center.
We'd love to see snow. It's so novel, but, you know, it causes a lot more trouble than it's worth. Yeah. You know, traffic shuts down. The city shuts down. I mean, everything is a mess. So although I love to see snow and it's gorgeous and it's novel and interesting and you know, we can have fun with it, I think the downside really outweighs the positives because it really wreaks havoc.
As you say that, Dan, I moved back from Las Vegas in 1989, and my dad took me to drop a U-Haul truck off on Jefferson Highway. The story just popped in my head. It was December 22nd, 1989, when it snowed. It took us 9 hours to get from, I guess that was before they opened the second half of the Crescent City Connection, 9 hours to get from Harahan down St. Charles Avenue to try to get across the bridge to get back to the West Bank. And this man quit high school at the age of 16 to fight the Japanese in the South Pacific. And he turned to me and he said, I think this was worse than World War II. I'll never forget that. I swear to goodness. So you're right. It does bring a lot of problems. And I would guess that if he were to go back to fighting the Japanese in the South Pacific in World War II, he would revise that estimate. But at the time, after sitting in that, I think it was a Dodge Aspen he had for 9 hours trying to get back to the West Bank, he had it. So you're right. It is nice, but it is not necessarily worth the trouble that it causes. Highway aside, what do people with tender vegetation need to know, and what type of plants do they need to protect?
Well, everybody needs to be aware that this is going to be colder than the freeze event that we just had. It's not a catastrophic freeze. We're not going to get down in New Orleans into the low 20s or certainly not the teens. That's when we really see, you know, massive and really horrible damage to our tropicals. But it is going to get cold enough to damage them more than last time. So for people on the South Shore, when you're looking at temperature, it's a light freeze. From the temperatures I can see, it's going to tend to stay in the upper 20s, around 30 degrees, give or take a couple of degrees. That kind of a light freeze is what the North Shore went through just recently, and it doesn't cause a humongous amount of damage. So on the South Shore, do prepare, cover your tropicals up, bring tropicals in containers into a protected porch or even inside your house or garage to make sure that you minimize whatever damage might occur. But with some good covering on the South Shore, you see very little damage. And with protection, I don't think anything would be lost. On the North Shore, with the colder temperatures up there, that's going to be a hard freeze down in the mid to low 20s. That's quite destructive. And so people that have tropicals in containers absolutely need to bring them inside. Not even a covered porch would be suitable protection. So you'd have to bring those inside your house or inside a garage, cover everything thoroughly, and seal it up as much as you can. I just want to emphasize, when you cover your plants, the cover needs to extend all the way to the ground and be weighted down. You want to trap the heat of the earth up underneath that cover. So sometimes we see covers kind of, you know, that don't reach the ground, flapping in the wind, blowing off. You really got to seal that up really good to keep the warmth of the earth inside there. But we'll get through it. But on the North Shore and other areas where it's going to get down in the mid to low 20s, a good hard freeze is really going to take a lot of stuff back.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with Dan Gill, our good friend, professor at the LSU Ag Center, host of The Garden Show. And I listen on Saturday mornings, Dan. You know, I'm more of a concrete guy than I'm a plant guy, but I vicariously garden through you and listening on Saturday morning. And I will say this, you and I had a conversation a long time ago, is no garden better than a bad garden? And you said no garden was better than a bad garden, and that's when I put the concrete in. And I don't have to cover the concrete or anything else this weekend. I'll be fine. 7:21, traffic now, WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dan Gill, professor of the LSU Ag Center, host of The Garden Show. Dan, by the way, if you all have any questions, 504-260-1870, that's the Oquinar Jeweler talk and text line. Somebody texted in about, what do you have to do with palm trees? And I know some people in Belchase that have a whole front yard full of palm trees, and man, what they do looks like some kind of desert caravan or something to cover them. It's amazing with the tenting and everything else. How intensive do you have to get when you protect these things?
Well, if they're small enough to protect, cover. It doesn't do any good to mulch around the base. It doesn't do any good to wrap the trunk. It's the growing point up at the tip where the leaves come out that is vulnerable to the cold. And if that gets killed, then it kills the palm. A lot of plants that freeze back can regenerate and recover if they survive. But for palms, if that growing point up at the top of the trunk gets killed, then the palm is done for. Most of our palms are hardy down to 20 degrees, even into the teens. There are a couple of palms that are more tender and cold sensitive. The popular queen palm will freeze at around 20 degrees and is almost always killed if we get down below 20 into like 16 degrees. So we're not looking at temperatures right now that would be cold enough to kill palms in our area, but we're certainly looking at temperatures cold enough to freeze the fronds. And if that happens, don't panic. Just because the fronds turn brown doesn't mean the palm is dead. Well, wait until spring. You usually see some new growth come out around April or May. We usually wait at least until June to see if they'll sprout out. The Robolini palm, little dwarf pygmy date palm, is also very tender. And it can be killed by temperatures in the low 20s. So anybody that has Robolinis or pygmy date palms, particularly on the North Shore, they're a smaller growing palm and they're much easier to cover. Those should definitely be covered and protected from the cold that we're going to be experiencing. On the South Shore, maybe throw a sheet over a Robolini, but they should probably come through upper 20s okay.
Somebody texted in about grass. They need to cut their grass and they want to know if they can harm it or hurt it by cutting it either before, during, or after right after the cold front comes through.
Makes absolutely no difference. Most of what's growing in lawns right now are weeds. The cool season weeds are in active growth. The grass isn't growing. So if the lawn needs to be mowed, it's probably because other things are up and growing. But even if the grass had grown tall enough to need to be mowed, mowing is not a big issue. So tell them, go ahead and mow. Get it over with and get it done with. If you get a dry day, go for it.
Somebody else wants to know about trimming azalea bushes. Does it matter when you do that?
Well, it does in particular when it relates to their flowering. The azaleas in our landscapes have already set their flower buds. Some types of azaleas are already blooming. The encore azaleas are blooming. And, you know, so we see azalea flowers around the area to some degree. But the big display will come in April. The buds for all of those flowers in April are already present on the plant. If you go out there and prune back your azaleas now or in February or in March, you'll cut the flower buds off and reduce or eliminate flowering. So what we do with azaleas is we do most of the major pruning right after they finish flowering, sometime around about, you know, April or May when the flowering is finished, all the way through about the mid to late June, the early part of July. We stop pruning in the early part of July because we have to let them set their flower buds for the next year. So do your azalea pruning from the time they stop blooming until about the 1st of July, and you'll be in good shape.
Somebody texted in, what about orange trees that still have fruit on them? Do I have to pick them?
South Shore, no. South Shore, with the light freeze, will be okay. Temperatures to hurt the fruit need to get into the mid to low 20s and stay there for a goodly number of hours, 5-10 hours. That's going to happen on the North Shore. So all the North Shore gardeners and other gardeners in areas where the temperatures are going to go down to the low 20s and stay below freezing for an extended period of time, that is enough to damage the fruit and the tree. But so go ahead and harvest all of your fruit for people living in those areas. But in the greater northern area on the South Shore, where it's going to stay in the upper 20s, that should not be an issue.
Real quick, jasmine. Will the freeze next week kill my jasmine completely?
Probably not. It'll freeze it back, but it'll certainly come back from the base. So put a good mulch around the base to protect the lower part of the plant, and I'd say it'll come back for you.
I sure hope they're talking about the plant, not anything living that's named. Somebody else said I have some butterfly iris, sunshine ligustrum, and variegated liriope that I have not planted yet. Should I put them in the ground or just take them inside and wait until they warm up to plant them?
Oh, I'd take them inside. Those will usually come through this kind of cold, but the butterfly iris in particular will freeze back with temperatures quite low. So for the time being, I'd keep them inside and plant them a little later.
Thank you, Dan. I enjoy listening to you. I really do, because I don't have to garden, and I feel like I am. Dan Gill, professor at the LSU. It's a true story. Professor at the LSU Ag Center, host of The Garden Show. I listen when I'm driving around Saturday morning. It makes me feel like I got my fingers in the soil, and in actuality, I got concrete. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Paul LaGrange about things to do to keep your house safe during the cold weather snap that's coming right now. 7:30, time for WWL First News.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
7:43, 17 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. You know by now they got some cool weather coming. Coldest we've seen, I guess, in a while. Paul LaGrange joins us now, host of the Home Improvement Show, owner of LaGrange Consulting. How you doing, Paul?
Good morning, sir. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, although a former co-host of the Home Improvement Show. I still listen on Saturday mornings. I do. I was listening to something you had going Saturday about windows and flashing and something. What was all that about?
Listen, there's always something exciting happening on Saturday's show. I'm still amazed that folks are still calling and asking questions always since 2005. As you know, we have fun in the show. I mean, when you and I were doing it together, we always had a good time with our listeners. And, you know, this is the reason why we do this show is these times of year as an outreach to help people make some better choices relating to how they, protect their house from freezing.
So what are, like, take me through freeze protection 101, Paul. Maybe some common things that people don't think about.
Sure. So these are the things that I've already started doing. First of all, if you don't have the materials, now's the time to go to the hardware store and buy, pipe insulation or pipe wrap or, those covers that go over your hose pipe or your hose bib, depending what you call it. If you don't have those materials now, as it gets closer and closer to the freeze event, the availability becomes much less. So that could be your first step. If you don't have it, maybe you protected your pipes from last year and you say, no, man, I'm good. Do me a favor, walk and look at it, because the UV rays from the sun can start to deteriorate the tapes and the adhesives, and sometimes that pipe insulation is a few years old, and you may have to rewrap it. So anything that is any piping, hot pipe, cold pipe that's exposed to the weather, and this is also including if your water heater is in like an outside carport, or that's not conditioned, or an outside lean-to shed. Maybe you have a tankless water heater. You need to protect those pipes as well. If you're not going to wrap the pipes and protect it from freezing, then the only other choice, well, you actually have two choices. One choice would be to drain all the water in the pipes and leave all your faucets, hot and cold faucets, open inside the house and outside the house. That would certainly protect it. Presume you don't have any loops or bellies in your piping holding water. The second option you would have, Tommy, if you don't have a chance to protect your piping from freezing, would be to run your water at a very, very slow trickle. I actually describe it as a fast drip. It's not a lot of water. It's just enough moving water that continues to move through the piping while it's below freezing temperatures to prevent it from freezing.
Somebody texted in about the difference when it comes to faucets, hose bibs, whatever you want to call them. Let's not start that stuff again. But about the styrofoam kind that hook on, the little box type things, or the bags now that they have that you can tie on. The bags are a lot easier. My problem is I have no idea where I put them, but I will find them because I'm not buying more. I even bought extra. You know what? I just remembered. I stapled them to the garage wall. That's exactly what I did. Anyway, is there a difference between one or the other, Paul?
So I like using the rigid type with the foam insulation. And the reason for it is because the foam insulation is about half inch thick, and that gives you a higher R value than the bags. However, your hose bib, the distance from the outside face of your hose bib, where you actually screw the hose onto, to your wall, has to be a certain distance, because those hard containers are only so deep. That's where the advantage of the bag comes. They could be further away, longer, and the bags will still work. They both function well. I like the hard ones because pull it nice and tight to the face of my brick or my siding, depending which one I'm working on, to prevent the air from getting into that space. Tommy, there's been times when I haven't been able to find products I would take pool noodles and insulate with pool noodles. I would take newspaper or old towels and wrap it with towels. Anything you put on that's going to help.
Let's talk about the water in the bathtub. Somebody texted in about, does it depend on where the water comes into the house and where you run it? Distance from where it comes in to where you run the water?
Yeah, so I would trickle that water, like I said, that fast strip from the faucets that's furthest away from the water supply line that enters your house. So if you want to do the hot water, not the cold water. So that makes you want to do an extra step to conserve some energy, so you're not wasting all your hot water. You want to adjust the thermostat on your water heater where it's not running all night long. And the reason for the hot is because as water inside those pipes start to freeze, they expand, and that's how you get bursting pipes. Well, when the water expands, it creates a pressure. And if all your hot faucets are off, then there's no place for the pressure to go. And as a result, as it gets larger and larger, it bursts the pipes. On the cold water side, our toilets, because the valve on our toilet is so weak, it allows the pressure to go into the toilet tank, not the bowl, but the tank. So it's like a pressure relief. So if you've ever done any of these, case studies, you'll find that hot water pipes burst a lot faster than cold water pipes. And the reason for it is because the toilets allow the pressure to be relieved.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Paul LaGrange, our good friend, host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting, 504-260-1870. Somebody's got a question about protecting the pipes underneath a house. We'll talk about that when we return, as well as any other questions that you have. 504-260-1870, 750, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. All right, 7:55, Tommy Tucker, WWL, with our good friend Paul LaGrange, host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting, trying to get you ready for the cool weather so you're not, Paul, as many of us have been, out the night before in the freezing weather with a flashlight in our mouth trying to get stuff done that we could have done a couple of days earlier and a lot easier. Somebody wants to know the best way to insulate under an elevated house.
So if the home is high enough off the ground, you can, crawl underneath there, then the best thing to do is to get those plumbing insulation. It's called like a split insulating sleeve, and it goes all the way around the circumference of the outer circumference of the pipe, and there's some adhesive that you can peel and attach the two sides together to make it a full circle around it. I would make sure that you get the right size pipe insulation. So if you have a 3/4 inch pipe, get insulation for a 3/4 inch pipe. And then I would make sure there's no spots of the pipe that's uncovered with the insulation. And I would even tape the seams of one section to another so they don't move and then they stay completely closed. And sometimes that's the insulation that, adheres the seam of the two sides of that split pipe insulation together. Sometimes that doesn't last very long. So adding additional tape at different segments, like every 12 to 14 inches to go all the way around the pipe to keep it closed, is a great idea as well. And you want to insulate both the hot and the cold piping. Even if you have PEX piping, and I get this question often, what's the difference between copper water pipes and PEX water pipes? And we started using PEX a lot shortly after Hurricane Katrina because it has no salvage value. I know you remember this, Tommy, right.
But will it freeze, Paul, or not?
It does freeze. It's not freeze-proof. It is a lot more forgiving than the copper. But if temperatures stay cold enough long enough and it's unprotected and there's no water running through it, it can freeze. And the weak links is not necessarily in the middle of the pipe. It's where two PEX pipes may connect. That's going to be the weakest link.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just watching the clock, and I'm trying to get as many questions as I can. Let's get to tankless water heaters inside or outside of the attic. Mine happens to be outside. I think they wrapped everything that had to be wrapped because I asked them about that before they left. What about that, Paul?
So it's the out. Typically, when they're outside, is that biggest risk. In the attic, most times our water heaters stay warm enough because our attic insulation and our attic ceilings let heat from the house go into the attic. So most times in a freeze like we're going to have this upcoming week, you're fine in the attic. Outside, they need to be wrapped just like you described, Tommy. There's copper pipes inside that tankless water heater.
The whole heater
needs to be wrapped.
Tankless heater? No.
Just the pipes themselves, that's inside the water heater.
All right. Well, I presume they did that, I guess, right, when they installed it?
Well, you can open up and look. But, Okay. Yes, I mean, it's safe to double check.
What about running water with a septic tank, Paul? Paul, you there?
So a septic tank, it will extra water will flood into it, and it would kill the bacteria. That's just one of the things. It's cheaper to grow the bacteria back in the septic tank than it would be to repair a broken pipe. So it's just one of those things you have to accept.
And what about wells? People who have wells on the North Shore, best way to insulate?
Put a tent over it if you can, like these little hunting tents, or wrap big blankets around it and protect all the pipes.
Thank you, Paul. Never enough time. He'll be here on Saturday morning, I'm sure, with a lot more tips, right?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you, Tommy.
You bet. Thank you, sir. Paul LaGrange, host of the Home Improvement Show and owner of LaGrange Consulting. We'll come back, talk about the French Quarter Management District here on WWL.